Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Everybody. Everywhere.
I love the East. Woo! I love the West. North and South, they're both the best. But I only love to go there as a guest, because I love being here with you.
Hey, gang, I'm Matt Newton.
I love the shore.
And
I love
this
the rocks and what is more with
is
you.
Power
Hour. Never be a bore, because I love being here with you.
Yes.
Singing in the shower, laughing about it. Love is such a crazy game. Love all kinds of weather as long as we're together.
Oh man, we got a great show on tap for you guys today. You know why I know? Because of Fabulous Natasha is back in the house. Give it up for the girl. Let's hear it. There it is. Welcome back, baby.
Hello, nice to be back. Thanks, Mac.
Looking better than ever. I love it. The girl is in the house. Zach, how you doing today?
Doing well, sir. We've had these heat advisories going on, but you know, I'm hanging tough.
Oh, I know you can handle it because you're a Phoenix veteran. You're a desert rat like me. 113 degrees today in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. And like Zach said, we are under a heat advisory here. I don't know exactly what that means, but it's hot. It's hot. We thought it was hot yesterday. It was 110. Woo! But you know what? Not a problem. It's a dry heat, and we're feeling good. We're listening.
I finally heard something to counter that when people say it's a dry heat.
Yes.
This old guy said, so is an oven.
Well, that's what we live in. We live in an oven, and I love it. We're listening to Diana Krall from her Live in Paris album. Turn it up, Zach. Very, very talented lady. I mean, surrounded from music from birth. Born in British Columbia, Canada, actually. Just classical music, talented pianist, vocalist. She's awesome. Our musical guest host today, Diana Krall. So stay tuned for more of that. As I said, we have a great show on tap for you guys today. Our second show back. A great response from you guys. Thanks for your calls. Thanks for your emails, and especially from Al, a very heartfelt message from Florida. Thank you so much, and it feels good for me to be back too. All right, and you know what? For those of you who are disappointed we didn't do the shout-outs, I don't know, we may have to reconsider that. But for right now, we always got to give a shout-out to Pedro and to Bevzilla right here in the Valley. As I said before, the fabulous Natasha is back in the house. What we're going to do today for you, just a quick update on the show. We're going to finish the six keys to leadership, teamwork, and happiness. And, one thing I forgot to do last week, Zach, was give the email address. Send your emails to 7@macnewton.com, okay? 7, S-E-V-E-N, the number 7 spelled out. And for my Facebook listeners, just send me a Facebook message. That'll be good enough, you know. Perfect. I love that. Oh, we also want to give a shout out to Rosie out there in Chicago, a former Chicago Cub. We work together, still stays in contact. And wow, I'm excited about today's show. It's amazing, Zach. Here it is, only our second show back, and I feel like I'm back in the saddle there. How about you, huh?
I mean, like you said, like a bike, we got back on. Not even any wobbles.
No wobbles at all. The fabulous Natasha in the house. You don't know, girl, you make a difference in how the show rolls.
Well, thank you very much. ready to be educated. You're the best life coach, Max.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay, gang, here we go. That was Diana Krall bringing us in to the Power Hour. Another great show on tap for you guys today. I've got a few football players, several who are in the house now, from the Buffalo Bills out east and from the St. Louis Rams back in the Midwest. We may even get a chance to get them on the show, but we're so busy getting ready for the opening of training camp later on this month that we've got to stay focused. But anyway, I was talking to one the other day and telling him about why we choose to work so hard in class. And this is something that my instructor used to say to me, and it worked. I used to think about it when I stepped into the ring. When I'd worked hard, long into the night, kicking, stretching, punching, hitting the heavy bag until my fists were sore and my legs were sore from stretching, and they were raw from jumping off the floor. You know, it's all about this. I will do it today. Today, I'm going to do what you won't do. So tomorrow, when I get in the ring, I'll be able to do what you can't. And that is a fact. When you work extra hard and you do what other people won't do, especially your competition, when push comes to shove, you'll be able to do easily what they can't do at all. You will have made the difficult routine, the impossible every day. And that's what the Power Hour is all about. It's about winners. And every year we start ours, if we take a hiatus and we go off the air for a while, for whatever reason, I'm starting a new venture or I'm building the studio or whatever we're trying to do, and we need to spend most of our time focusing on that, and we put the Power Hour on the shelf just for a little bit, I always come back and start up with the same topic, how to think like a winner. And we're going to start off exactly that way today. Last week, we introduced the six keys on purpose so I can refer back to them at time to time. We're going to finish the last two. I'll give you the first four, finish up with the last two so you'll have all six. Okay? Now, thinking like a winner, like a successful person, like a leader, I think all winners have three things in common. Number one, they know who they are. They're not in doubt. They know what they stand for. In other words, they have values. I do this, I don't do that. I believe this, I don't believe that. I say that, I don't say this. They know what they stand for, and they know what they believe in. They have very clear values. Most people are confused, you know, vague about what their values are. In other words, you know what a value is? It's a statement of something that has meaning to you. In other words, inside of me, one of my values is I'm patient. I believe in thinking before I act. I value my spiritual relationship. I value my personal relationships. I value my health. I value how I choose to spend my time and who I choose to spend it with. These are my values. Everything I do, my goals, have to be in harmony with my values. All winners do that. If you set goals that are inconsistent with your values, how can you possibly be successful? You want to accomplish something that you basically don't really believe in? Then why'd you set it as a goal? Oh, maybe it was something about you read in Us magazine or People. Or maybe it's a goal your father had for you or someone else. Any goal is a good goal as long as it's your goal. But all leaders, all winners, all successful people have these three things in common. They know who they are. They know what they stand for, and they know what they believe in. Very clear values. The fact that most people are confused, that most people are vague about their values, that anyone who has clear values, even if they're, let's say they're not as talented or not as smart, because they have very clear values, very clear goals, they have an advantage over those who don't. People who are confused about their values waffle back and forth about what they believe in. Depends on who they're listening to. And their lives show that uncertainty. Their lives show that inconsistency. Their lives show the fact that they're confused. Their conversations, their relationships, even the way they think, they're not sure from one moment to another what they're even thinking about. They waffle back and forth. The greater clarity that you have about your values on the inside, the more consistent your life will be on the outside. Winners know that. One of our goals here on the Power Hour is to help you become a winner in the way you think, in the things you do, the people you hang around with. As Brian Tracy always said, you cannot fly with the eagles when you're scratching with the turkeys. Sounds funny? Very, very true. If you're going to scratch with the turkeys, you will not know how to spread your wings and fly. You will not even know how to give yourself permission to fly. Welcome to the Power Hour Gang. My name is Mac Newton. As Zach Geis on the other side of the glass, and of course the fabulous Natasha is here. And this team brings to you this production every week for one purpose: to help you become the best you can be. I'm not here because I'm trying to set the world on its ear financially. I've long since learned that money is one of the easiest things in the world to make. I'll make no secret about it. If there is a secret, the secret is this, is that most people spend their life chasing money when they should do it the opposite. Create something the world wants and let money chase them. All you have to do is slow down and let it get you. So money is one of the easiest things in the world to make. If the only thing you ever lose is money, my great grandma used to say, you've never lost a thing. Any problem you have that can be solved with money is not a problem. You may need more money, but it's not a problem because you can get money anytime you want by coming up with services and ideas that people are willing to pay for. And creativity is free. The things that are really valuable, the things that we really, really can't buy, your health and true love, or time. How much would you pay for the last 20 years? How much would I pay for the 20 years that I blew off like a trash fire? Yep, that's right. I literally blew up 20 years of my life. I can't get it back. And if I could, what would it cost? You know, you can buy love, but is it true? And so many of us, as all of us, have felt for, you know, since the beginning of human history, that because of a bad decision, we've lost the love of our lives, and it never seems to come our way again in exactly the same way, no matter what you do, no matter how much money you have, or what you're willing to sacrifice for it. You can't buy it. That's why I say, money, it will never define me. So I'm here on this show because I know that every time I can say something to help your life get better, mine will improve at exactly the same time. And I'm not talking monetarily, I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking from a standpoint of me feeling the impact of living my life in accordance to how the Creator brought me here to live it, to fulfill my destiny. That's why we do this show. Not because of whatever monetary gain it may stimulate, whatever monetary it may generate. It doesn't matter. You know what matters? When I receive an email that says to me, Mac, my husband had an anger problem, and the hour you spent on the Power Hour talking about it changed not just his life, but his whole family's life. Now that makes my day. That makes my day. When someone sends me an unsigned note that says, thank you, makes my day. That's why we do the Power Hour. And I've been blessed to have some of the greatest teachers in the world, some of the greatest instructors and the greatest leadership. I owe it. I'm going to pay it forward. I'm going to pay it back. I'll pay it sideways, any direction you want to call it. That's why we're here on the Power Hour. Just so you know, I don't claim to have any answers, but I do know this, that the beginning of wisdom is when we have the courage to ask the right questions. And we're going to ask a lot of them. And will you have the courage to look at those answers carefully and look at them closely, up close? And if so, maybe along the way you'll find things revealed to you. You'll reveal something to yourself. You'll find that the things that you really want out of life, you already know about. You already know about them. Okay. Today's show, we're going to finish up our six keys and get into our main topic after the bottom of the hour. Okay, it is now going on 17 minutes past the hour, wherever you are. I don't think the minutes change around the world, does it, Zach? I think it's like here in Phoenix right now, it is 17 minutes past 5 on Wednesday afternoon, the 14th of July. Time is flying. It just seemed like, well, a year ago, our last show ended on the 22nd of July. So almost a year to the day. So wherever you are, it's probably 17 minutes past the hour of whatever. That's why I don't ever give the 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 10 o'clock, wherever you may be listening to. And as you know, even though we go live every Wednesday at 5, we upload it immediately. And you can listen to this show or any of our previous shows free, uncut, right on MacNewton.com anytime you choose to. So do me a favor, tell your friends. Let them think like a winner as well. Okay, last week we started with the six keys to personal happiness, teamwork, and leadership. And let's jump right back on that. Number one, no grudges. No grudges. Grudges only serve to undermine the willingness to succeed, which creates perpetual unhappiness. In other words, there's got to be an absence of resentment and suspicion, especially in teamwork. And any leader is going to recognize that and is going to confront it immediately and go after it to eliminate it. You cannot have a winning team where you've got people who are resentful or jealous and working to impede the progress of their team members. And that's what grudges does. Okay, number two. Live in the present. Live in the present, and that'll allow you to prepare for the future. There is an unwholesome preoccupation among Americans with past failures and mistakes. And that's the thing that takes people out of the present. It just rips them away from the now. Not just in your own mind, because sometimes you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can invest that money. I don't know if I can if I can be successful in this deal. I don't know if I can do that because the last time I tried, I failed. So you're pulling yourself back to the past, to a past failure, a past mistake. And if that's not enough, you know we're surrounded by people who are more than willing to remind you of the last time you failed. People who seem to build their own lives by reminding you of what you didn't do well. Which blows my mind. You've never been able to do such and such. And what makes you think you can do it when no one else in your family has been able to do it? Oh, no one else around here can do that. Number one, no grudges. Number two, live in the present. Number three, you never want to fight your life by making the same mistakes over again. You have to embrace change. And by embracing change, you are cooperating with life. So number three is to embrace change. Not just tolerate change, embrace it, seek it out. Don't try to dominate your life. Don't confront it, mesh with it. And when it gets difficult, don't run away and hide. Or don't try to. You really can't hide from life, but people try to. But along the way,
If you try to hide, what you're actually doing is destroying your life. What stops that? Embracing change. And the best way to embrace change is to become an obsessive goal setter, which is going to be a major topic that we have very soon. Always is when we start a new Power Hour segment. To get people off to a good start, setting goals. It doesn't matter that it's in July. What do you think? You can only set goals on January 1st in the form of resolutions? What a waste of time. That's a good waste of energy. I'm going to set some New Year's resolutions. How long do they last? About the time it takes it to get out of your mouth. That's about it. Do you fall back into past habits? No. Let's set goals. Goals have power behind them. Resolutions, they're nothing but wishes. They have, it's like a goal, but with no energy behind it. Wish means, I wish I could lose this weight. End of sentence, but I know I can't. I wish I could get a raise, but I know I can't. I wish I could finish my education, but I know I can't. That's what a resolution is. Much the same thing. You're not really resolute in going after it. Not what it means to our society today. It's basically a joke. If you really want a New Year's resolution to mean something to you, set it in the form of a goal. And we're gonna teach you how. Okay? And the number one reason that people don't set goals, I will kind of give you a heads up on that. They're just not serious yet, Zach. They haven't gotten serious. They haven't turned pro. They're still amateurs. They haven't turned professional. They haven't gotten serious about their life. When they do, they stop wishing and they start setting goals. Number four, force yourself to be outgoing. In other words, be willing to do whatever it takes as opposed to just giving it just surface work. Compare this. Natasha, if see if you can see the difference in these two phrases. Doing whatever it takes or giving it your best shot. Before you answer, let me say this. Imagine if you had a child inside of a building and it were on fire. Would you do whatever it takes to get the child out, or would you give it your best shot? Which one?
I would give my best shot.
You would give your best shot? How about you, Zach?
I think, like you said, you know, nothing would be good enough except, you know, 100% success in that scenario. But
So what's your question? What's your answer? Are you going to give it your best shot, or are you going to do whatever it takes?
You got to do whatever it takes in life or death situations.
You have to do whatever it takes. You know what? Now, I've heard that answer many, many times, Natasha, but I'll give it my best shot. But you're giving something your best shot. Has never been good enough, isn't good enough, and never will be good enough. Because what is your best shot anyway? Do you even know when you're going to do whatever it takes? You'll run through the wall to get that child out if you have to. That's whatever it takes. That's what number four is. Being willing to do whatever it takes. To me, giving it your best shot is tantamount to trying as opposed to doing. What would you rather have, Zach? Someone try? You got a heart surgery planned here today. Zach, we're going to give it our best shot.
I think you wouldn't go through with the procedure.
I think you would cancel it really fast. Or the doctor says, don't worry about it. We'll do whatever it takes to bring you through this thing, which way you want to go. Okay, we got brain surgery planned for you, Natasha. I'm going to give it the old college try. Or we're going to get this done. Trying, doing, don't try. Either do it or don't. But never try. Waste your time. And you know, people say, oh, give it the old American try. If not, if first you don't succeed, try again. Forget about it. If all you can do is try, save it. I want someone who's going to do it. If giving it your best shot is the best you've got for me, don't bother. Do whatever it takes. That'll tell me exactly where you are at any point in time. Number five. This is where we left off last week. We went through the first four. And by the way, if you want to listen to how I enhanced all of those previous four, go back and listen to last week's show. And in addition to what I've just said, you'll hear me give other analogies and other information. It might give you a better perspective on each one of those keys. Number five, refuse to pity yourself. Nothing, I can't think of anything in our psychological lexicon that is less commendable than self-pity. People who are making alibis so they can look special in the eyes of others. People who are seeking justification to justify behavior that came up lacking. Refuse to pity yourself. You cannot be a successful leader. You cannot have a team all pulling in the same direction with people who are feeling sorry for themselves. I believe in responsibility psychology, which says if it's to be, it's up to me. And I don't think that self-pity is going to give you any forward motivation. I've heard people say, well, we've got to feel that negative emotion before we can really accept it and then move on. Oh, please save me all of that whimpering and whining. I am not interested in whimpering and whining either. I am a firm, paid-up member of the reality principle. Number five is refuse to pity yourself. Face up to responsibilities. If it's to be, it's up to me. Number six. These things, if I say, you look at a gravestone and it says, born 1965, died 2050. And in between those two numbers is a dash. Well, what words are behind the dash? Everyone would like to think that they're an honorable person. They can say, he was an honorable man. She was a very loyal person. She was a hard worker. He was dependable. Well, that's what number six is. Cultivate old-fashioned character traits of dependability, honor, loyalty, and especially hard work. It seems that those are lost today in our lexicon of trends let's take sometimes the easy way out. I understand about the human condition and the expediency factor, and we're always looking to get more from less. I understand that psychologically. But right now, it's about options. It's about choices, Zach. It's about choices. It's about choices. All right, gang, it is 29 minutes past the hour, and we have now opened up our second show. It's so good to be back. So good to be back. Sitting in the chair. And you know what? Tune in to www.macnewton.com. We're in the process of updating our new website. And pretty soon, you're going to be actually able to go online, fill out a quick questionnaire, and work out with the Mac Daddy. You're going to be able to work out with me. I don't care if you're just getting started. I don't care if you're 50 pounds overweight. I don't care if you're diabetic or pre-diabetic. I don't care if you're insulin resistant. I don't care what your situation is. We're going to have a program for you on my website that you will be able to work out with me. This is the Power Hour. I'm Mac Newton. Zach Geis is behind the glass. And the fabulous Natasha sitting in as usual. You guys stay exactly where you are. We'll be right back with more of Diana Krall and, of course, the Power Hour. West of the sun, west of the moon, dear, east of the sun and west of the moon. Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to talk to you about success. Predictable success, like the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. A comfortable feeling that you know that you're going to reach the potential that the Creator put in you at the start. And that's what we do here at the Power Hour. And when you're not listening to us and following up on the things we're talking about, you can go to www.macnewton.com, where I've got essays, where I've got previous Power Hour shows you can listen to. And very soon, I mean within the next month or so, you'll be able to download workouts. That's right. Whether you're a rank beginner, or you're getting ready for the Grand Canyon State Games, or even the Olympics, or you want to try out for the Arena Football League, you'll be able to work out with the Mac Daddy and get in shape with the best in the business. All at www.macnewton.com. That's where the winners go. Hey gang, welcome back.
In other words, hold my hand.
I like that.
In other words,
straight ahead
darling,
jazz.
Kiss me.
Diana Krall.
Fill my life with song.
By the age of four, she was taking classical piano lessons in Vancouver.
You are all I long for.
British Columbia, I should say. By 15, she had a paying gig playing piano three nights a week at a restaurant in downtown BC.
In other words, 15.
Wow. Her whole family, though, was musically talented. I've seen her live several times. Natasha, we went to see her. Did you enjoy watching her?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, beautiful voice and such a stage presence. She has. I mean, which is obviously evident from starting so early and having so much experience. So even though she's still fairly young, she has just a lifetime of experience. One of the few people who can play at a high level and sing simultaneously. That's what we're listening to. Our musical guest host. Who knows? She may be back again next week. Hey, it's my show. I can do what I want to. 32 minutes past the hour, gang. You're listening to the Power Hour. My name is Mac Newton. I'm the host of the show. We do it every week right here, every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Wow, 113 degrees in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the passing yesterday of George Steinbrenner, who I had the pleasure of meeting twice, and a true visionary. No matter what you think of some of the things that he did, he had a vision of his team, a team of stars, and he brought it to reality. And so the world has lost a unique personality. So go and be with God, George Steinbrenner. Okay. I met two New York Yankees on the same day in 1987. I met Ricky Henderson and George Steinbrenner, both on the field in Yankee Stadium, old Yankee Stadium, by the batting cage. And it was kind of cool. You know, I'd read so much about both of them. And it was an overcast day. And Ricky was talking about his hammy was a little tight and he might not suit up that day. Wow. And standing there, and George Steinbrenner was talking to me just like I was a member of his club, which of course I was not. But that's as bombastic as he could be, and as the boss, as he was called, and he let you know he was the boss. He could be as generous financially and as open to the guy sweeping up the hallways of Yankee Stadium as he was talking to his general manager. I've seen him do both things. So he certainly has a very, very active and visible part of our sports scene in America over the last 30, 40 years. a franchise he bought for less than $10 million is worth over $1.5 billion today. So something to be said for investments. So he will be missed. Okay, where are we here now? Getting into our second half of the show. As I said, we're going to start off, pick up with our main topic, which we always do in the second half of the show. And we will be, as we always do, how to think like a winner. This is directly from my second book, The D Factor, How to Think Like a Winner. But before we do, for those of you who may be dealing with things that are not part of our topic today, that you might be dealing with issues changing in your life, maybe your job, the economy, your kids. I mean, life can come at you fast sometimes. You know that? It can come at you in a rush. And sometimes you're just not ready. I want you to listen to me for a second. No matter what you're dealing with right now, no matter how dark a place you may be in right now, don't give in to it. Listen to me, folks. Sometimes the water can get really dark and really deep and really cold. And no one seems to understand but you. And you seem to be all by yourself. Believe it or not, you never are. You never are alone. And if you can feel that that you're not, remember, there is a way out. There is a way out. There is a solution. There may be several, but you can't see it if your eyes are shut. You can't see it if you're afraid, and you can't see it if you are whining about it. Don't give in. Stay with it. Take my word for it. Because, gang, I've been in some deep, dark places. And there is a way out. I know some of them. Hang with me here on the Power Hour for a while. If I'm not talking about something that you need to deal with today, I'll probably do it next week or the week after. It works that way. So keep your eyes open. And don't put your head down. Keep your chin up. The world is not going by on the ground. You got to keep your head up. You got to look up. Stand tall. Let the world know that you are fine and healthy. And you are ready to get out there and start living. Okay? Attitude's everything. Over the years, thousands of successful people have been asked this question. What do you think about most of the time? And you know what? Their answers tend to be the same all over the world. Successful people think about what they want and how to get it most of the time. The little time I did have with George Steinbrenner, I tried to, you know, push my luck a little bit and ask him questions. And I would frequently run across people like George Steinbrenner I remember when I met Joe DiMaggio sitting in the dugout by himself. The Yankees were in to play Oakland in Oakland, California. And I went there and just started throwing some questions at him. I've met some people. W. Clement Stone. Spent a few minutes with Donald Trump. These people think differently. They're not necessarily smarter. That's the thing that really gets me. They are not smarter than you or I. They just think differently. They expect solutions. They expect answers. And they get them. So they've been asked these questions. What do you think about most of the time? And their answers are the same all over the world. They think about what they want, and they think about how they're going to get it most of the time. And as a result of this, as a result of this mental focus, they get more done than the average person, even though they may have significant disadvantages. You take W. Clement Stone, for example. He was a very peculiar looking man. I mean, he was brilliant, but he was short in stature, and he had this very thin mustache and a very high-pitched voice that when you heard him, it was kind of hard for a while to take him seriously. It was kind of like listening to Truman Capote almost there a little bit, you know. But he was brilliant. Well, it didn't take you long to get past all of that once you listened to him speak. And you heard the brilliance of what he was saying, the experience and his willingness to share it. Changed my life when he talked about decisive thinking, how to be decisive, how to make decisions. I'm going to share all of that with you guys here on the Power Hour. I think you get rich by, not by what you keep, you know. You shouldn't hoard, you know, this is all mine, this is all mine, this is all mine. No. You want to share it. You want to give it away. And as you do give it away, more comes back to you. So you end up with far, far more than you ever would have before. But people try to just hoard what they got. Keep it, keep it, keep it, keep it. Unsuccessful people, on the other hand, tend to think about and talk about what they don't want most of the time. They think and talk about who they're mad at. Who they're mad at and who's to blame for what's not working in their life, for all the problems that they got. That's what they talk about. They don't understand why their lives don't improve, even though they think they've been working just as hard and just as long as some of the successful people. And they say, I'm just as smart as you are. Why is your life? I guess you're just lucky. Wow. I don't believe in luck, gang. I believe in probability. Luck is always the result of probability. In other words, the more you do, the more you keep making choices and decisions and trying different things that are in the area of what you want, the more likely it is to work for you. It's a matter of probabilities. It's a numbers game. In other words, if you're a salesman, Zach, and let's say you go out and make 100 sales calls, and with those 100 sales calls, you get 25 purchases. So let's see. I bet you I can tell you right now the best way for you to double your sales. What is it? Answer me.
Make 200.
You got it. Do you have to get any smarter?
Just double your efforts.
Double your efforts. That's all you have to do. There you have it, folks. You want to double your income next year? Bam. That's it. First thing right here on the Power Hour, second week. We just did it for you. People are saying, Mac, he's making it sound so easy. I hear that all the time. When you talk, it sounds so easy. But let me tell you, gang, it is just that easy. All the difficult stuff, you're adding in. You're the one going, yeah, but. Oh, come on. See, that word but is like a big old eraser. And you're just erasing the blackboard with it. You're just erasing all the stuff I just said. That's all it is. It's a big old eraser. Yeah, but, yeah, just take the yeah out. You're just saying that to make me feel better because you don't believe it. And you just proved it when you said the word but. What happened is that unsuccessful people slide into this habit of thinking and talking more and more about their problems. Who is to blame? And as a result, they're going to attract into themselves the very things they do not want. I got a book to recommend for you, gang. One of the best books I've ever read in my entire life. I read it at least once a year. Martin Seligman, S-E-L-I-G-M-A-N, Martin Seligman, from the University of Pennsylvania. What he did was he organized interviews with more than 350,000 men and women. Yes, I said it right, 350,000. 350,000 men and women over a 20-year period of time to find out how they thought most of the time. And what he did, he took all of his findings over that 20-year period of time, and he wrote about it in a best-selling book entitled Learned Optimism. It is amazing. Learned Optimism. Do yourself a favor. When you go to the bookstore, don't buy one for yourself. Buy five and give it to the five, give one to the five most important people in your life. And tell them that the Mac Daddy said read it. You didn't say it. Tell them the Mac Daddy said read this book. And what Siegelman found out was the predominant quality of all successful people around the world is optimism. In other words, they expect things to work out well because that's what optimism is. They expect things to work out well. Successful people are far more optimistic than average people. They expect things to work out well. They have a positive mental attitude toward themselves. They have a positive mental attitude toward everything that they do. Again, you're listening to The Power Hour. My name is Mac Newton, and we do this show every Wednesday at 5. Tell your friends. Do me a favor. It's 45 minutes past the hour. We've got a little ways to go here. I hope you're having a good time. I love doing this show, Natasha, because it reminds me of the person I want to be. It reminds me of the things that I want to do. And all it takes is an hour and a half out of my week, once a week, for me to talk about this stuff in this way, to fire me up and get me thinking about stuff that I want to do. I feel that your level of optimism is the very best predictor of how happy, how healthy, and how wealthy you are going to be. That's right. How happy, how healthy, and how wealthy. And in fact, even how long you're going to live. Your level of optimism. Do you expect things to work out well? The more optimistic and more positive you are, the more energy you have, the more enthusiastic you are. You know what else I think too? Zach, this is, I know a lot of people think I'm crazy for saying this, but I'm not. And science is starting to prove me correct here, because in fact, I even think your immune system is stronger. I think that your immune system is more resistant to disease and infection. You will seldom be sick. I'm not kidding on that. I know I haven't known you very long, Zach, but you've never seen me sick, and I should tell you, it just doesn't happen.
Never.
Never.
Unbelievable.
And that you're seldom sick. You get along with less sleep. And that you have more mental and physical energy throughout the day. The more optimistic you are, in other words, the more you generally expect things to work out well. The more creative you're going to be. You will constantly come up with new ideas, better ideas, all the time. And you're going to recognize new possibilities to help you move fast, fast, fast toward your goals. Goals that are in harmony with your values. Goals that are laid out very clearly with the person you want to be spiritually, emotionally, physically, psychologically. And as a result, you become more determined than ever before. You become more determined to become a more optimistic person in every part of your life. And everyone who spends a moment around you will feel it. And all of a sudden, they'll say, you know, you're different. There's something different about you. There's something different about you. There's just something different about you. I can't put my finger on what it is, but there just is. Every single person you meet, every part of your life will be developed. It will show the happiness, your success. This will show more than any other single quality that you can develop. Any other single quality that you can make. Optimism. Optimism. Now, what's your job right here? Your job in this process is to keep your thinking optimistic and positive most of the time. Zach, I don't know if I've told you before, but do you know you can make a brand new habit in 21 days?
I think I read it was like 18 days, 21
days. Yeah, I've told you. Right. You can make a brand new habit in 21 days. And you know why? Because a rabbit with the brain the size of a pea. Did I say rabbit?
Yes, sir.
I meant chicken. Right. Why did I say rabbit? I heard myself say rabbit. I said, he said rabbit. Why did I say rabbit? Anyway, well, I'm not sure exactly how big a rabbit's brain is, but it's not as big as ours. But a chicken the size has a brain the size of a pea. But yet, even with a brain that small, that chicken can sit on those eggs for 21 days and hatch them. Just out of sheer instinct. Sheer instinct. So certainly you and I, our brains weigh up to 4 pounds, would have between 20 and 40 billion cells from childbirth to adulthood. And by the way, your brains are still developing cells and growing up till you are 30 years of age. People think when they're 20 to 21, they're done. That's so dangerous for young people drinking that much alcohol. You know, take the alcohol and sit it down. Put it down. Don't drink it. It destroys brain cells. Take the glass and the bottle and sit it down. Keep your thinking optimistic and positive for 21 days. And at the end of that time, you're going to be generally optimistic as a brand new habit. You will automatically think optimistically about any situation that comes up. You won't have to converse with yourself. Okay, let me think optimistic about this now. No, you won't have to do that. Now, at any point in that 21 days, you find yourself speaking negatively or with negative expectations, you got to start all over again from day one. And when you make it to day 21, you will have a new attitude of optimism and positive thinking. Or it may be day 18 or 16, but certainly by day 21, it will be in effect. When you practice thinking and responding optimistically, most of the time, this positive attitude soon becomes your response to everything that happens around you. You will eventually find yourself responding and reacting positively all day long, no matter what goes on, no matter what happens to you. You know? So, in other words, your job, keep your mind positive and optimistic. In other words, I like to equate and balance my optimism with my level of physical fitness. Now, you know I work out every day. So if we're going to work out and do physical push-ups every day, if we're going to run laps, if we're going to do crunches, if we're going to stretch, then shouldn't we do mental exercise as work? Shouldn't we do some mental push-ups and some spiritual push-ups? Of course we should. So we have a balanced life. I think this form of mental fitness can be developed by practicing certain mental exercising over and over until you automatically respond in positive and constructive ways to everything and anything that happens to you. So, next week, we're going to start off with our 7-part mental fitness program so that everyone who listens to the Power Hour and everything we discuss from this point forward, we'll be doing it from an optimistic and positive perspective. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
From a positive and optimistic perspective, we are going to approach it so that we do not slip back into old habits and allow ourselves to be tricked into thinking that somehow negative thinking is somehow a good thing. Now, one of the things I also want to try and encourage you to do is to visit my website, because every single day I write a new blog. Did you know that? Did you know that?
Absolutely.
Did you knew about that?
I've followed it.
Oh, really? Okay, good. Well, because every day I write something new. Today's blog, I'm talking about change and how things we can do to bring about change. Here's today's blog. All right. Well, actually, it's yesterday's. What's today's? Okay, I'll just go with yesterday's. Okay, July 13th. It's entitled Try Everything. Sometimes you are absolutely certain that you need to change, but you don't know how. You can feel it in every cell of your body. You can feel it in every cell of your being. I need to change. I need to do something different. I need to change. But you have no idea of what you should do. If you find yourself in this situation, sometimes even random, enthusiastic, optimistic activity can pay off for you. If you don't know exactly what to do, you know what I say? Try something. Try everything until something works. Just try it optimistically. When you're thinking optimistic, you're going to go in, you're going to work at things that have a better probability of working for you. Again, you get lucky. Now, we all know that Thomas Edison experimented and failed over 5,000 times in his quest to invent the incandescent light bulb. He always felt, even after that, after having experimented and failed 5,000 times, that he really hadn't failed at all. What he had done was identify 5,000 ways in which it would not work. What he wanted to make sure of is that he never did the same experiment twice. He made sure that he always did something different with each experiment. He never wanted to make the same mistake twice. Now imagine that, Zach. What most people find themselves in is the same hole again and again. Am I correct? They find themselves making the same mistake. So it's not that they're making a mistake that's bad, because that's what our job is. Our job is to make mistakes and then learn from them, but our job is to keep making new mistakes. And that's where most people get off base. Many modern developments in business have occurred as a result of rapid fire, high volume experimentation. I remember Newsweek magazine reported once that DuPont Chemical Corporation said it takes up to 250 new ideas to generate just one marketable new product. Rubbermaid produces 400 to 500 new products every year just to maintain their dominance in the marketplace. New ideas. In my opinion, as I said before, success is basically a matter of probability as much as anything else. And optimism is the key to make sure that everything you try, something to everything, is going to be positive for you. And the more things you try, the more likely that you're going to stumble upon something that eventually works. That's going to lead you to your eventual success. I have so much fun with this show. Jack's over there waving his hands and shouting at me. It's 2 minutes before the hour. We got to get out of here. Folks, the place is on fire. The building's on fire, and we got to get out of town. Do me a favor, gang. Tell your friends about our show. And like Al said, he sent me an email. He says he listened to, yeah, I give her a hand too. Diana Krall, our musical guest host today on the Power Hour. He said that he listened to the show twice last week. Well, I hope you guys enjoy it that much. Just listen to it once. If you need it twice, let's do it twice. I listened to it twice last week, but I just wanted to see how I could make my presentation better and, you know, get through to you guys and make it more listenable. Hope I've done that. Before I sign off today, I want to make sure I mention that you guys be true to yourself. In other words, when you're being true to yourself, your words and your actions match. Your thoughts and your behaviors match. They're congruent. And what happens when you're being true to yourself and you let your words and your actions match and your thoughts and your behaviors, you open yourself up to the truth. The truth about yourself. The truth about your relationships. The truth about your business. That's how you get to the truth, by being true to yourself first. As usual, I want to say thanks to Bob Adlock. Have a good season, Bob. I see you guys acquired a couple of new Suns players. We'll see how they fit in. You know, have you seen? Did you see that, Zach?
I got to get caught up on my Sports Center when I get home. I heard there were some moves being made.
So. Are they? Yeah, some new moves on Sports Center. And Pat McMahon, of course, my mentor and another icon that we all should attach ourselves to, someone like that, a mentor, a teacher. And of course, my man, JC, up in San Fran. My Ace Boone, John Booker, up in Chicago. And of course, Zach and the fabulous Natasha. My name is Mac Newton, and this has been the Power Hour. And until the next time we see each other, you be good to yourselves. One, two, three, peace. The Mac Daddy is out. Be confrontational to it. Change your grip. Don't run away from life and hide. Change your grip. And certainly, don't try to destroy it. Change your grip. You see so many teenagers today, more than any other time in our history, taking their own lives, destroying their life. They haven't learned yet how to change their grip. They haven't learned that they can change their grip. At that point in life, everything seems so final. There's nothing I can do about this. And there are some adults who feel the same way. Nothing I will do will change this situation. Nothing I will do will change it. There's always something. There's always another choice. There's always another way. Always. You have to have the courage to open your eyes and look into the darkness sometimes. You have to have the courage to think differently. Change your grip. Don't just keep doing things that you've done because it's always been done that way around here. Change your grip. Winners are absolute masters of changing their grip. They might change their grip every time they show up on the course. It's okay. Change your grip. I got time to start on one more. It is now 55 minutes past the hour. Our first show, Zach, is almost in the books, huh? You know, it felt like getting back on a bicycle. You know, it just felt like getting back on a bike. You know, for the first minute or two, you know, it was a little shaky.
A little wobbly.
A little wobbly there. But you picked up a little speed, and the first time you stopped, it was a little bit shaky, but you got your feet down. It was okay. Every time, it got a little better. But you still knew how to ride. That's good. Pat McMahon, you were right. I do have a future in this radio business. Even though I'm still a martial artist, don't forget that. That's what I do. I still teach Taekwondo. Number four. We'll start this one because it's so powerful. It's so powerful. When you... Oh, I'm just going to read what I wrote. Force yourself to be outgoing, especially during times of emotional stress, especially during times of crisis. You know, the Chinese have two characters for crisis. One is caution. Be careful. Slippery slope. The other is opportunity, close at hand, nearby. But too often people have been so intimidated of the crisis that they want to run away. That's what most people do when confronted with crisis. emotional upset, they want to run away and hide. When what we really should do is force ourselves to be outgoing, is to be cautious, be careful, danger. But also, close at hand, there's an opportunity, a significant opportunity. And we miss it, never even to know that we missed it. So we say, well, I didn't have a chance. I never got a chance. Yes, you did. You had many chances. You just didn't see them. You were too busy running away. You were too busy afraid of the crisis that came your way. Because as soon as you set a goal, as soon as you start moving toward a meaningful opportunity, crisis is going to show up. There are going to be obstacles. It's built into success. The road to success is always under construction. It is bumpy. And if you're going to run away at the first sign that things are getting tough, you're never going to see the opportunities. Never. Number four is to force yourself to be outgoing. It is to force yourself to not retreat, but to face that situation. Don't retreat inside yourself and hide. This is the opportunity now to stand there, open your eyes, and see where this opportunity is. This is an opportunity to make this. To make this relationship more meaningful. What's more damaging in relationships that because something starts and one or both members retreat? Oh, what can get done? Zach, what can get done at that time? Or what is more exasperating to someone who wants to communicate and the other person retreats? Runs away and hides. And you scream after him, we can't get anything done this way. We can't get anything done with you running away. And they're right, of course. But that's what most of us do. That's what most people do when confronted with a crisis, emotional upset, they retreat. The worst thing that can happen. We, in this point in time, need to change our grip. We need to go back to number three. Cooperate with us. Change your grip. Do the very thing you don't want to do, but force yourself to do it. Force yourself to open your eyes. And then when you do that, all of a sudden you'll walk away saying, I'm so glad I did that. Because now we have an opportunity to make this relationship, this bond, stronger than ever before. To make this more of a team than ever before. Zach, does this make any sense to you at all?
It's hitting home. I'm glad, you know, this show's been great to get back. And, you know, this content is perfect right now.
Well, it's perfect for all of us right now because I talk about things I want to hear. Now, as we down to, it's now 57 minutes past our game. We are coming down to the final home stretch, and I'm going to get one more thing into this number four before we leave. But don't worry, we're going to start off and finish number five and six next week as we review one through four next week. So make sure you tune in. Force yourself to be outgoing. I correlate that to doing whatever it takes. WIT, whatever it takes. As opposed to what most people do, they give it their best shot. You see, giving it your best shot allows you to retreat. That's like trying. Let me ask you a question, Zach. Imagine this. I mean, you don't have any children, but imagine you had a 2-year-old son and you and your wife are sitting on the patio enjoying a cool summer's eve. But inside your child lays sleeping comfortably, but you've got a little magnifying an amplifier with a transmitter, and you can hear through the receiver if the baby even turns over. So you're If the baby cries, you'll be able to hear it. But you're relaxing with your wife and you're enjoying the evening, listening to a cool breeze, the sound of your waterfall and your pool splashing. But all of a sudden you hear something that's not the waterfall, it's not the breeze. It's the sound of paper. It sounds like paper crackling, but it's not paper crackling, it's flames. Flames leaping out of the window of your child's bedroom. You look over your shoulder, it's a panic. Let me ask you a question. Are you gonna give it your best shot to get that child out, or are you gonna do whatever it takes? Which one, quickly?
Success, you know, you cannot fail in that situation.
Which one are you gonna do?
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Why not giving it your best shot, Zach? Why not?
It's not good enough.
And you know what? That's the answer I always get. I've asked that question for 23 years, Zach. I've gotten the same answer. It's not good enough. It wasn't good enough then. It's not good enough now. And it'll never be good enough. Give something your best shot is never, ever good enough. Trust me on that one, gang. Never has been and never will be. You must be willing to do whatever it takes because it changes the odds. It changes reality right on the spot, doing whatever it takes. So when you open your eyes and not retreat into yourself, and you force yourself to be outgoing, you are now doing whatever it takes. You have changed your life. You are changing your grip. You are living in the present. You are making all four of these come to fruition right there, right now, right here. You're taking charge of your life. Remember, don't retreat and hide. Force yourself to be outgoing. That's number four. We're going to pick it up right there next week, gang. We really are. It has been just a joy for me to be back on the air with the Power Hour. And as we close, I want to remind you something of which I will every week. I want to remind you to be true to yourself, okay, gang? Be true to yourself, which means simply let your words and your behaviors match. Let your words and your behaviors be congruent. Let your thoughts and your actions be the same. That's being true to you. As always, I want to say thanks to Pat McMahon and Bob Adlock. He's the producer of the Suns broadcast, who was the motivation behind our getting our first TV show, the Mac Newton Power Hour, Cox 9. John Cannon, my co-host on that show up in San Francisco still, my man. John B., old friend from Chicago, always will be. And of course, to Zach behind the glass, and of course, the fabulous Natasha. Okay, gang. My name is Mac Newton, and this has been the Power Hour. Now remember, the key when it comes down to food is going to be what you eat. To health, when it's going to come down to food, what you eat. The 3-2 eating plan is going to help you lots in that regard. Now remember, one of the key things to staying positive, to keep your mind positive, refuse to criticize, complain about, or condemn anyone else for anything. Not only do you isolate the person you're criticizing, but you trigger negative feelings and anger within yourself. Once you accept complete responsibility for yourself and everything that happens to you, you feel in complete charge of your life. As I said, my name is Mac Newton. I'm the host of the Power Hour. I will be back with you next week. In the meantime, be true to yourself. Peace. I'm out. We'll be right back.